ערב טוב, good evening, the show is the Lui Nishmat.
Dvera
Dvorah
Bat Avraham.
Bat Avraham and?
Avraham Ben Baruch Simcha.
And Avraham Ben Baruch Simcha. Okay. Okay. Parashat Vayetze. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam She'akol Nehiyah Bidvaro.
Amen.
Vayetze Yaakov Mibe'er Sheva. Vayelech Harana. ויפגע במקום וילן שם כי בא השמש ויקח מאבני המקום וישם מרשותיו. So Yaakov gets out of Be'er Sheva and goes to Haran. We're not going to go into the explanation why is it written twice and why is it written that he gets out from Be'er Sheva and goes to Haran. Could very simply tell us he's going to Haran because last week we already know that he left home and he's going to Haran. Now, or not only repeating it, but telling us he's getting out and getting there. Like in two words, is one of the reasons is that he is like really doing what his father is telling him and what his mother is telling him, because he's doing two mitzvahs. What two mitzvahs is he doing?
Honoring
his mother is telling him, run away from your brother; he's going to kill you, and that's why Yetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva. He's going out of Be'er Sheva. His father tells him, go and get a wife from Haran. Mm-hmm. And this is Vayelech Harana. He also goes to Haran. Mm-hmm. The big lesson here is that when we do a mitzvah, it's very good to have the good intention behind it. In other words, sometimes you can do a lot of mitzvahs with one. He's really doing, what, two things or one thing? He's doing one thing, doing two mitzvahs. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. In other words, you can do sometimes one deed, and it can be considered as a few mitzvahs, as long as you think about it, because that's exactly what we are. We're not just automats or doing things
robots.
With robots doing things because like we used to do it or without thinking, we have a mind.
Yeah. So we have to think. Rabbits.
Yes, we have to think about what we're doing, and sometimes even we can achieve a lot thinking about what we're doing. And this is one of the lessons that we can learn from Vayetze Yaakov in Be'er Sheva Vayelech Harana. Vayifga b'makom, he hits the place. Now this is very strange. What's the meaning? Hits the place. But if Gaba Makom, what happened? Like it's a, there are a lot of, they're saying it's he prayed there, whatever. There are a lot of explanation, but really using the word, Vayifga, he hits the place, because you see, Yaakov Avinu is going to do what? He's going to do. He's going to build the basic of the Jewish home, and that's not a simple task. That's a very complicated task, as we see, as we go along with him. On the way, unbelievable is to understand and realize. For Yaakov, he's going out from a place of Torah, and the Midrash said that even he was now 14 years learning in the best Midrash of Shem ve'Ever, and suddenly he realizes, by Gavah Makom, it hits him the idea. 1 minute, where am I going? I'm going to Haran to bring a wife. It's like I'll tell you, go to Gaza to bring a wife. Well, what's going on here? I've got enough women around me, and I have to go to Haran, the worst place in the world, impure place, corrupt place, to Lavan Arami, this liar Lavan, the cheat. What's going on here?
And he doesn't even question his father.
He doesn't question anything. It's all told him to do.
Goes.
He's doing it. But now he's got a lot of questions. Well, let's put this way. The Midrash says it. The way become a wall. Like he couldn't go. Like you have a wall suddenly and you cannot walk. That's it. Finished. Yeah. So, what's going on here? So God brings the sun down and he sleeps in the place and he dreams this unbelievable dream. The dream of the ladder. Which is one of the most famous dreams in the Bible. And also when we talk about in Kabbalah, the one of the most popular explanation on Kabbalah is Perush HaSulam, the letter explanation. And what is the idea of the letter? The idea of the letter is telling us what is our mission in life. And telling Yaakov Avinu, if you think that sitting in the yeshiva, this is what is going to build Am Yisrael, you're mistaken. It's not enough. You have to go to do things. And now, in order to build a solid base that on it you can build this building of Am Yisrael, you need to to put yourself in the worst position and fight it. And the minute you succeed with it, then you're ready to build the Jewish home. Not everybody can do this, but Yaakov Avinu is Yaakov Avinu. And this is why the letter is written, Asulam utzav arza v'roshom magi ha-shamayma. The ladder is down in earth and it gets up to heaven. To tell us that if you want to go up to heaven, what do you have to do?
Get beyond earth.
Climb.
Where from?
From the earth.
From the earth. From the bottom.
The bottom rung.
Exactly.
And, the
and especially came. When we're talking about Yaakov Avinu, so God is really telling him, if you think you can just go and build a Jewish home and that's it, doesn't work like this. Yes, you have to go to the worst place in the world, and there you have to find a wife. Not only this, you're going to stay there for quite a few years to fight and to establish the strength to go through life with so many obstacles that then later on in life, nobody can touch you. And Am Yisrael, Chai V'Kayam. And it all starts in our parsha. What we went through, and we're still keeping the Torah. As we see, and what we'll see in Megillat Esther, Aman HaRasha, what is really aggravating him? Yeshno Am Echad, Mefuzar Mufurad B'Kol HaAmim, V'Datei HaMelech Enam Osim. There is one nation that is all around the world, and they keep by themselves. They keep their belief. They don't mingle with others.
Yeah.
And this is the power of Am Yisrael. Where did we get this power? From the house of Laban. That's where we got the power. This is why, also in the army, when you want to be a part of the special units, of the special forces, you have to have special training. Because otherwise, you cannot get to the level of the fight and what the tools you need in order to go to those unbelievable missions. And this is now when Yaakov realizes, no, now I understand. Vayisa Yaakov raglav. It's very interesting, also this phrase. By the way, the angels, Malachi Elohim Olim V'Yordim Bo. There's a lot to learn from this. The angels are going up and down.
But they came down first.
That's exactly the point. They should be written going down and up, not up and down. Because angels come from where?
Heaven. From heaven. From the top. Said they first... But he saw them coming down. No, but they were first mentioned as going up.
Yes. Yeah. That's the question.
But that means they were down.
And that's the question.
It means they were down. Already.
So one of the simple answers is that the angels of Israel went up and the angels of Chutz La'aretz came down.
Yeah.
Okay. But there are a lot of other explanations, and one of them is that it's written, Malachi Elohim Olim V'Yordim Bo. Yeah. The angels are going inside him. Which it should be, if you're talking about the ladder, they're going on the ladder, not in the ladder. Malachi Elohim Olim V'Yordim Alav. Not Bo, but that's what's written, Bo. In other words, they're really talking about angels that are inside of each one of us. What are those angels? So the Gemara says, our Sages says, if you do a mitzvah, you create an angel. So in other words, the good deeds create an angel. He goes up and comes down with all the good that who brought to this world? Who? We, with our deeds. God is in control of everything. But he gave us the will. Says, I put you here in this world, and according to your deeds, that's the way the world is going to function. If the Torah is not being learned day and night, nothing is going to exist. In other words, who keeps this world ticking? We.
We with our mitzvahs.
With our deeds. And this is what is telling us. Malachi Elohim Olim. The Yordim. Also, another interesting thing about those angels, in life, we have ups and downs. And sometimes we get depressed. Bad situation. So the Torah is telling us, don't fall from the ladder. You can go up, and sometimes you can go down. But if you on the ladder, in the ladder, Malachi Elokim olim ve'yodim bo. Nothing happened. You will go up again. Don't fall from the ladder, and don't lose your faith. Because the ladder is down in earth, and everybody can climb on it. So then, when he realizes this, Yaakov, in Pasuk, in Perek Kafet, Pasuk Aleph. Vaisa Yaakov Raglav. What does it mean, Vaisa Yaakov Raglav? What is this translation, by the way? It's interesting.
He lifted his feet.
Jacob went on his journey.
Here it's written, lift his feet?
Yeah. Here, there.
He went on his journey.
So the truth is that this time, this translation wins. Because that's what's written. Vaisa Yaakov Raglav.
What did
he
do?
He lifted his feet.
That's what's written.
That's Spanish. Not Google.
No, that's Spanish.
Yeah, but anyway, it's the same thing.
You told me he went his way.
No, that's on his journey.
Okay. So, we have a few good translations.
He didn't travel in an aeroplane and he didn't go on a camel. He went barefoot.
What is the idea behind it? It's very interesting.
Yeah.
The legs are the lowest part of the body. And to raise up means to take the lowest part and raise it up. So now, if we connect it to the dream of the ladder, we understand what's written here. Now, Yaakov realizes that he has to take
his feet and get on
the earth, the earthly part, the bottom part, and raise it up to heaven. He gets now the power to go on this fight to do this.
Beautiful.
Which is not easy, not simple. And he goes on his way. And then, what happened? Of course, we can talk about every pasuk here for a few, 2 hours, 3 hours, but we've got no time for this. So we go in our way. By the way, another interesting thing is that we have a lot of stones and rocks in our parsha.
Yeah.
It starts in the beginning when he gathers a few stones around him, and then in the morning,
it's only one.
It's one. So, in Hebrew, we have an expression that you say, Avnei Derech. I don't know if there is in English something like this.
What?
It's like when you go, like when you go in nature, you have like when you go in a, you have stones on the way that are telling you the way to go.
Right, they guide you, the guiding stone, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
I call those stones guiding stones, Avnei Derech, because we'll see that they really are going with Yaakov on his way. And what is the stepping stone? Yes. What is the idea?
There's a name, but it gives you the directions.
But there's not stepping stones.
No.
You put the feet on the way to go.
This is only an indication where to go.
This direction, that direction.
Okay, we'll take all the explanation together, okay? It's a direction, we're walking on it. The main thing is, they are really the way that we are going. And on the way, we get those stones. They tell us what is the right way to go. So, Yaakov Avinu, the dream is that you take all the details and you connect them to build the one. It's not right, not build the one. You're going to discover the one through the details. Because one of the big mistakes is that people think that when we're talking about the klal and the prat, like the general thing and the details are building the klal. But it's wrong. The klal exists, and the klal is built, or let's say it's not built from the pratim, The details are telling us what is the klal.
What happened on
In other words, in order to understand the klal, we need to go to the details. And the details are revealing and telling us what is the klal. So in other words, all those stones on the way, I really have one mission, to get to the morning of the Geula. When he gets up in the morning, they become one. Because all leads to one way.
The same space.
To one way. The way of the Torah.
Derech Agav, they say it's milestones.
Milestones. Not stepping stone, milestone.
Okay.
So now he goes, and he gets to this well, and there is a big stone that nobody can lift. He sees those three shepherds with all the sheep, and he's asking, what
are
you? Sheep. He said, what are you doing there? What are you doing here? It's the middle of the day. Still, Odayom Gadol, the day is still long, and you're sitting here doing nothing? And what he's really telling them, first of all, it's gezel. You're stealing from your from the owner. Or if you are the owner, also, this is Tzar Ba'alei Chaim also. The sheep they want to drink, and you're sitting there doing nothing. So then they explain to him, no. We're sitting till everybody's going to come, and only then we can pick up this big rock, because otherwise we cannot pick the rock. The rock is so big and so heavy that we need all the shepherds to come together and pick up the rock.
And he just
and then, no, this is one of the big questions is. So then he sees, he's asking, wow, what's going on? So then Rachel is coming, and when he sees Rachel, he gets to the whale and just takes off the rock like it's nothing. So we are asking ourselves, what's going on here?
The Torah.
Tzar Ba'alei Chaim is the Oraita. And those sheep are waiting to drink. So if you have the power to lift the rock, why didn't you do it before?
Yeah.
What, you want to do a... How do you say? You want to show off before your, the want. Girl?
Definitely.
Yes? This is Yaakov Avinu?
Yes,
no.
Definitely.
No.
He's a man.
The joke, you know, the guy goes on the beach and he says... Where are the girls? He said, they're not here. He said, no.
So, this is the, let's say, the simple explanation, which doesn't go together with Yaakov Avinu.
If he was feeling light-hearted, then he would have the energy to lift the stone.
Where would he have
Yeah, but again...
They're waiting for people. How many
but
people?
But they are standing there...
Because yeah, but I'm saying they couldn't do it.
They couldn't do it.
And the thing is, what happened is that when he saw Rachel, he saw, this is my shidduch. With this girl, I'm going to build the Jewish home.
Beautiful.
So now I understand. It's not like because she was so beautiful. That he saw, this is my other path. He saw the inside. So this is going to be the building of Am Yisrael. And for this... He just found the powers inside him to live. There is a big lesson here. People don't realize the power they've got. When do you find suddenly the power inside you?
When you're inspired.
When you're inspired, or if chas v'sholom you are in a danger.
Right.
Then we can read it all that if there is an earthquake, after 2 weeks they find somebody still alive, which is
unbelievable,
or somebody that is buried under a big stone that normally he couldn't pick half of the stone or a third of the stone, but suddenly he picks up the stone and gets out.
Mm-hmm. And maybe, the adrenaline.
It's not only adrenaline. It's like we see American. In you know how they break those bricks.
Yeah.
Those guys. And if you remember Alperin Zichrono Livracha, he used to do this. He used to have all those bricks and then broke them all. You try to do it.
Did
you
try?
You break your hand, arm.
How do they do this?
You have to know the
concentration.
The weak spot, yeah.
Yeah.
What they do is they learn how to control the strength of their body and concentrate it in this point.
Yeah.
In other words, they concentrate, and they pull the whole strength of the body to this point, and then they take and hit the bricks. And the bricks
break
with no problem, and they don't believe it, don't even feel it here. Or if they know how to do it. They're learning. It's not a simple thing. You have to go through training in order to get to this concentration. By the way, a lot of people, if they can concentrate their powers, they can do a lot of amazing things. And this is what we're learning here from Yaakov. Suddenly, this guy picks up this rock. He couldn't pick it up before because normally he couldn't pick it up. But now, when he saw, this is the girl that I'm going to build together with her, the Am Yisrael, he found inside him those powers to teach us that marriage is not easy and not simple. It's a big task in life. And to build a house in Am Yisrael, it's also not an easy thing. Sometimes you would look at it and say, it's not for me. It's too big. So what is Yaakov telling us? Nothing is too big. You have the power. You just have to find it inside you. You have to concentrate on the mission and you will do it. And in life, a lot of times, we get in front of things that looking at from the outside, you think, I cannot do this. But suddenly you find out that you do it. How did you do it? You have the powers. You have to find them. And that's exactly one of the big lessons from our parsha. I think everybody has got his own story. It's like when people that knew me, let's say years ago, if they meet me today, they wouldn't believe.
They wouldn't recognize.
They wouldn't recognize me. Wouldn't believe what I'm doing today. Mm-hmm. So what happened? My mother died at the age of 65 in a hospice in Tel HaShomer on Motzei Yom Kippur. And from this day on, everything changed for me. Because for me, it was this wall. It was, I hit this point. Like, suddenly I understand that living in this world has got a different meaning. It's not like going to sleep, waking up, going to work, going to sleep, and let's say get aggravated. Everything changed. From this day on. And everybody's got those moments when God reveals himself. It can be something good. Unfortunately, a lot of times it's something bad. But nothing is bad. Because this world is just an episode. And we have to go through those stones and find our way, the right way, to get and to do the mission. And sometimes God helps us with showing us things, or things are happening to us. So the problem is that sometimes people just go on with life and don't notice. It's like, for example, you see somebody, when somebody dies, he comes to shul and he says Kaddish and everything, and when the year is gone, you don't see him anymore.
Yeah.
Now what happened? So he had an awaken, but it went away. The wisdom, the right thing is to do is to catch those things and understand that God is telling you something and take them with you. And this is what Yaakov is telling us. Yaakov, with lifting up this rock, didn't finish his job. He went to the house of Laban. And this guy was cheating him on right and left. And he went through hell. His brother is running after him, wants to kill him. And it's going on and on and on. But Yaakov Avinu goes through all of it. And he does it all. Because he understands. If God is putting me in this position, I have the power to do the mission. And I just have to find this power. And he now is ready to build the Jewish home. After the dream of the ladder, then he realizes, yes, he has to start from the bottom. And after lifting this big rock, he realizes that he's got the right tools to do the job. And he comes to Lavan. And he wants to marry. And by the way, it's very interesting the way they discuss the things.
It's interesting also that he saw her and he kissed her right away.
Yes. Yeah. It wasn't Shomer Negiah.
Yeah.
This is what I wrote here also. Some people say that he talked with her. They interpret it like a talking, not kissing.
I'm not going to go into this issue.
Kissing. Oh, come on. Leave it be kissing. What are they like?
You're very romantic.
Very romantic.
You're too romantic for the Torah. Mm-hmm.
And it's probably like they do on the cheek to German.
Like Rivka saw Yitzhak and she fell down from the horse.
By Hikish Mola.
Yeah, well, a lot of women see some adult blind dates.
A horse is bigger than a donkey. Donkey is not such a big fool. A horse is a bigger fool.
Now, what's happening here is very interesting. When you look at Pasuk Yudalet,
there's a
pair. The Perekavtet, yes.
Yudalet.
No, let's start from Yudbet. Yudgimel. Yudgimel. Vayikishmo Alavan, got it?
Okay.
Vayikishmo Alavan, et Shema Yaakov ben Achoto. Vayarutz likrato, vayichabeko. When he heard about Yaakov, he runs because he thinks it comes with billions, millions. Why? Because the slave,
Eliezer
came with a lot of. But he finds that he's got nothing. Vayveo el beto, vayisaper le Lavan et kol advarim ha'ele. He's telling Lavan all the things. What things?
Keep. I haven't got money. I haven't got, but I'll work for you.
No,
and everything.
No. Try to kill him. And
why he's there? Why he's coming?
Yes, he's telling him the whole story with Esav and what he did.
History.
That he stole the blessing and he stole he bought the thing.
But he knows who he is.
But I thought that
the question is why he's telling this to Lavan?
Because he knew it. We'll see in a minute. Yeah, sorry.
Did he know that it was?
What did you ask? Sorry, what did you ask?
She thought it was
backed
by
Eliezer. No, we all know with Yaakov. Yaakov and Rachel.
Okay.
But Yomer lo Lavan, you're asking why did he tell him the whole story? Okay.
Did he know that Yomer he was Lavan? Did he know that he was his uncle?
Yes, of course. But he didn't know the whole story.
Absolutely.
Yomer lo Lavan, and Lavan is telling him, Ach, atzmi uvesari ata. You are my flesh and blood.
Right.
For a month, he stays with him. And then look what happens. Vayomer Lavan li Yaakov, Achi, achi ata, ve'avadeta nechinam, agida li ma maskurtecha. So Lavan tells Yaakov, you are my brother. Are you going to work for me for free?
Yeah.
Tell me what you want.
How much money?
Wow, what happened here?
He didn't know.
Because after he heard the stories of Yaakov, he realizes, he says, Achi, achi ata, you are my brother. You are like me. You are a cheater. You are a liar. You know to play the game. You are dangerous. Oh, now you're going to sit here and then you're going to steal from me or you're going to want who knows what. So tell me right in front, before we start everything, what do you want? What is your salary? That's why he's telling him the whole story. That he will know that he's not dealing with a
with the
schwanz. He's dealing with a head, with a lion.
That's right.
Actually, it was his mother who was
with
not the schwanz.
He did it.
Yeah, but
he bought the bchorah. He did it without his mother. He brought the first birthright. He bought them from Esau.
Yeah, but then the whole what follows. She said that he questioned it also. He said,
of course, he questions it. Yaakov Atzadik. Whatever you tell him he's going to do without questioning and doubt what he's doing. But the point is, he's doing it. In other words, he knows how to do things. He can stand in front of problems and solve them. Because he's there standing in front of his father and lying to him. We're not going to go to the story because we know it's not exactly lying, whatever, but on the surface, that's what it is. In other words, Lavan understands that this guy in front of him is not a friar.
That's
enough. That's why he's telling him the whole story. Now he knows that he has to be careful with this guy.
Yeah.
Achi, achi, atavet avdenit adiur, gwon from work for him. But, you know, with all those due respect, he still is doing his games. Because Yaakov tells him, I want bracha. And we all know what happens. After 7 years, he gives him
Leah.
And there is an interesting point that every time we talk about it, when Yaakov is working those 7 years for Rachel, it's written, Vayavod Yaakov beRachel sheva shanim vayu biyemav beenav kiyamim achadim beavato ota. Because he loved her, it looks like a few days. The years look like a few days. And that's not reasonable. Because when you really wait for something,
it's like endless.
Every day is like a year, and not every year like a day.
That's right.
So what is he really telling us? And he's telling us something unbelievable. And here we see who is really Yaakov. Because he knew that he is not going to get married in order just for having a wife and that's it. No, he's going to build something. He is going to build the house of Israel, the Beit HaYehudi. So he has to be prepared for this. So what he was doing really all those years, he was preparing himself to the mission. So it's like if I tell somebody, you're going to get $10 million in 7 years, for example.
So he's working towards.
So he has to work 7 years for $10 million. How is the time going to go? Very slowly.
Of course.
But if I tell the guy that every day he's getting $100,000, how is the days are now going to move? Very fast. 100,000, 200,000, 300,000. That's by the way, we're not going to go into it now. So, in other words, what we are being told here, that to build a Jewish home, you don't just jump to it.
Doesn't it just happen?
You have to prepare. You have to be ready for it. So Yaakov is doing it, and then what happens? He puts Leah there, not Rachel. So then he works another 7 years. And we're going
was
on.
He
so
working, he or was he learning was
ready
also?
Already?
Was he learning also?
No, he was working.
Working.
In the fields? What?
Yes. No, he was. I'm sure that he was also learning, but that's not the point. The point now is that he's working 7 years and then he's working another 7 years for Rachel.
But how is he sort of building?
How is he building? He's getting married, he's taking Leah, then he marries Rachel, and then the 12 tribes come to the world. That's the way he builds Am Israel. When you know what you're standing in front, you prepare yourself and you get ready to it and you build it in the best way you can. That's why you had to do it there. And then he's building, and then when the time comes, he goes away. He goes back to Eretz Israel when the time comes. But before he goes back to Eretz Israel.
Rega, I have a question. Why we know that not all the tribes came from Rachel and Leah.
We know that what?
That not all the tribes came from Rachel and Leah. They came from Ophir, for Bila and...
Yes.
Okay. So why? This is the question. Why shouldn't it be from Rachel and Leah? That was really the choice. Because the others was, Rachel doesn't...
You forget one point. Eh? That they're all from Yaakov.
The same father.
Okay. No, you forget this point. No. That's the crucial point. There is a combination of Yaakov, Rachel, Leah, Zilpah, Vebila.
I know.
To show us that Am Yisrael is built from all different things. That's why we have the 12 tribes, and each one of them has a special, unique quality.
Yeah, but...
And by the way, Zilpah and Bila are also the daughters of Laban. It's not so simple.
No, they are the daughters of...
Yes, but they were also born from the Pilakshim of Laban.
Oh,
at that time you had a wife and you had also a
and
mistress.
The concubine,
yeah, mistress, all those things. They are the daughters of his mistress.
Also.
In other words, they are the daughters of Laban. By the way, one of the interesting things everywhere, people don't say that we hate Laban and hate Papa.
Yeah,
but you forgot for a minute that he's our father also.
That's right.
At the end of the day, he is the father.
He's our grandfather.
Of Rachel and Leah.
The grandfather.
Our mothers. And then at the end of the day, and people don't just forget it. So you're asking about Zilpah and Bila? Why don't you ask me about Laban?
But
that's exactly the point. We have to say we are not sole agents of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We got a mission, and the mission is to get the whole world to believe in God. Everybody.
But the Jewish people, you are considered a Jew if it depends on your mother,
yes,
not in your father.
Yes. Yeah.
And who is the they are Jewish?
They were not Jewish then. There was no Jew. There was no Jews at that time.
But wasn't Abraham the first Jew?
They're all the same. They didn't get the Torah yet. They didn't become Jewish yet. This is only very late in time. And also then, every Gentile can join Am Yisrael. Yitro joined Am Yisrael. Onkelos joined Am Yisrael. Shmaya v'Avtalion joined Am Yisrael. All those big rabbis, all those big sages. They were not Jews, and they become Jews. As I said.
Ah, no, but they became Jews.
Yes, of course. But to be Jewish, you have two ways to become Jewish. One is birth, and the other one's convert. Mm-hmm. There's no problem. Everybody can become Jewish. Everybody.
Conversion.
What, sorry?
We don't encourage.
No, of course not, because to be Jewish is not just a game. Unfortunately, today sometimes it looks like a game. Mm-hmm. But it's not a game. To tell somebody who the only thing he has to do is to keep 7 mitzvahs, to keep now 613 mitzvahs, it's not an easy task. To tell somebody to start davening 3 times a day, do this and do that, and do that. It's not easy.
Do it.
Yeah. Well, doesn't Judaism today discourage people?
Always.
Because we want only those who really want to be a part of us. They have to fight for it. What is Yaakov doing here? Yaakov is going to build the Jewish home where? From Laban. And Zilpa and Bila. Vakasha, here you got it. That's what he's doing. He's fighting. He's building a house from scraps, from nothing. So if you do this, then you're real Jewish. Who is more Jewish? One who is born Jewish, or one who chooses to be Jewish?
Money
who do you think?
Actually, they say the one who chooses to be Jewish.
What, sorry?
They say actually the one who chooses
to be Jewish. Of course. Think about it. It's logical. I was born, so I've got no chance. That's what I am. But somebody to come and put himself in this place, you know, I would look at him as crazy. Well, what do you need this? You can keep 7 mitzvahs. And everything is okay. You are tzaddik.
But it's their choice. They've got a choice.
Yes.
There's someone in the show who was a convert. They called him up and they said, do you remember Abraham ben Abraham?
Yes.
Yeah. And we all looked and we said, gee, that's funny. His name's versus Fox. The Pitom.
In our show, what show?
Yeah, that's
yeah, I know.
Yeah,
German. 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 German.
Yeah,
German. German.
Yeah, very
German.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, very nice guy. Very nice guy.
Abraham.
Who is this?
Abraham ben
Abraham. He's got a baby sits in the end normally.
In the end of where?
In the middle of the week. I think if it happens in the. I think it happens in the mini new davening. He sits on the end on the right side.
Is that in the talking
next
section?
To you?
Not next to me. Here, when you go in. When you go into shul, downstairs. Not upstairs.
Yeah,
downstairs.
Yeah. Okay.
Downstairs. When you go downstairs,
yeah.
And you go when you go to the whole inn, he's on the right side.
On the right.
Right. You sit on the left.
Yeah, yeah.
He's on the right. Yeah. On the back.
Ah, in the back.
He's a baron operator.
He's a baron. Yes. Yes. A very nice guy. A very nice guy.
Okay.
So everybody can become Jewish. There's no problem. The point is that to be Jewish is not simple. It's not easy. So we don't encourage them because we don't want them to do it from the wrong reason. Unfortunately, today it happens a lot that they do it from the wrong reason and they do it in a very stupid way, and it's wrong. That's not the way to become Jewish. To become Jewish is to really want, not because I want to marry this girl, I want to marry this guy, or because I'm comfortable with it. It's because I want to keep the mitzvahs. I want to become a Jew.
Because you are in the army.
Yes.
people are in the army, okay, say, no, they have to be Jewish.
So then...
Well, they are fighting for the country. You know, they're putting their life on the line.
Okay. No, there is no problem with this. I'm not.
But it's not still they don't mind make them Jewish.
The point is, you but see, it's not an easy... Jewish. I don't want to go too into it, but everybody is dragging me too into it. You have to understand, to become Jewish is not a nationality. It's a religion. Jewish is a religion. You have to put it in your mind. Yehudi, Yahadut, Ze Emunah. That's what is Yahadut. It's not Israeli. Israeli is a different thing. You can be Israeli, velo Yehudi. You can be an Israeli and not Jew. And not a Jew, no problem. And you have all the civil rights. Mm-hmm. But if you want to be Jewish, it means you want to be a part of what? Of Judaism. And Judaism is a religion. Mm-hmm. So you cannot become Jew if you don't want to keep the religion. It doesn't go together. You have to understand it. That's what it's all about. And everybody who tries to put it in a different way is wrong.
And they argue.
Yeah, but you see...
I'm Jewish, I'm Jewish.
You can... The problem is that sometimes the Rabbanut is doing a lot of problems. And that's a different issue. I'm not going into it. Because this is also a big mistake. Because if somebody comes from a Jewish family and wants to become Jewish, and he really wants to be a part of Am Yisrael, and he wants to keep the mitzvahs, don't do it so hard on him. Let him go into it. Unfortunately, because of this fight, it become like... The other side, they're doing that, no problem. Okay, you want to become Jewish? Okay. Doesn't work like this. This guy has got no intention to keep mitzvahs. No. So if he's got no intention to keep mitzvahs, what does it mean to be Jewish? You tell me, I don't know. Maybe I don't know. What is a Jew?
But they want their children to be married, to be Jewish. That's why they marry a shiksa.
Yeah, no, not necessarily.
So that the children are Jewish. That's important to them, the mother, Mark. It's important to their mother.
And if you want to become Jewish, you have to become Jewish 100%. That's what it is. If you later on don't keep the mitzvahs, okay, that's your problem. You're already Jewish. But you cannot go into it with no intention to keep the mitzvahs.
I have a niece who married my nephew. And he never went to shul, he never did. Since he joined the shul, he goes to minyan twice a week.
Since she converted.
She converted
in
Libya.
No, it happens. But that's the beauty of it, you know. But unfortunately, it doesn't happen always.
That's what
a lot of times they are very light on the trigger, as I say. Yeah. They're very light. They don't shake and don't go away. That's okay. It's like you become a Jewish. Okay, take this book, learn this book. Okay. What you do this? That okay? You're Jewish. Doesn't work like this. Sorry.
He's the treasurer of the shul.
No, it happens. I want to tell you, you don't realize it. Sometimes those who convert are much more religious than the others. Because, as I said before, they chose to be Jewish. But what I'm saying, if they really chose to become Jewish, welcome. That's exactly the idea, what we're talking about. We don't force them. We don't try to convince them. But if they really want to become Jews, v'vakasha, you don't have to look far away. Where did David HaMelech come from? Where?
Ruth.
Ruth HaMoavia.
A Moabite.
She's a convert.
She's the most famous convert. Mm-hmm. And who is Yitro?
The father-in-law of Moshe.
Yitro is the father of the wife of Moshe Rabbeinu. Mm-hmm. And sorry to tell you, Yoshua Bin Nun, who was his wife? I don't want to say the word.
Did he marry the wife?
Rahav.
Yeah, Rahav. That's what they say.
Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah, he married Rahav. It's very hard to understand. It's very hard to put it in our thing. But you see, that's exactly the point. People can change. We're just talking about this. This is the ladder. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter how sinner you are and what wrong you did in your life. You can always do tshuva. You can always climb on the ladder. You know, Onkel says that the sulam na'utz be'ara, not only sits on the earth, is stuck in. And by the way, there is another important point. We are on the ladder, all of us. And people are going up and down. And it's our job to help them. Not to fall from the ladder. It's also our job. Help the others. Mm-hmm. So it's not only me. We are a part, as we say, from the Klal Yisrael. Mm-hmm. That's what we have to put in our mind all the time. Mm-hmm. And whatever we do, we have to think about this. So, Yaakov Avinu, I think the big lesson of the parsha is that we have powers. We have just to find them and do unbelievable things. But always go on the right way. Don't miss the way. You have to realize it's going to be a fight. We see this big rock on the whale. The whale is the water of life. It's the Torah. But there is an obstacle, a big rock. And we look at it and we say, we cannot pick it up. But we can. And we should. How do we do it?
You do it.
Concentrate on the mission. Believe in yourself. Believe in the power of Am Yisrael. So, he's working for 7 years, and then the tribe starting to come. And we have all the beautiful names of the tribes.
Something very interesting, when he ran away from Laban, and Laban runs after him, and he met him, and they have a discussion. And Laban tells him that are my children and my daughters.
They are. They are.
No, they're children, the grandchildren.
Yes, yeah. Grandchildren. That's what he means. That's what he means.
But it's really my children.
No, that's what he means. They said, "Banim." By the way, it's halachically. Halachically, we said it a few times. Banim ki bnei banim. Bnei banim ki banim. Our obligation is to the third generation. This is our obligation. In other words, if the parents don't, let's say, if our children don't educate their children, it's our job. We have the same obligation. You have to understand that that's halacha.
That is great.
That's halacha. Fourth generation, it's a different story already. But third generation, that's our obligation. We have to make sure that if our children don't educate their children, it's our job. And that's halacha, by the way. And it's also very reasonable. You'll see that the connection with the grandchildren is the same as with the children, sometimes even better. But then it goes down. That's life. That's the way it is.
It is.
No, that's the way it is. That's in our nature. That's how. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because he said that last night. When you go to another country, or let's say even you come here and you make Aliyah, which generation really feels that they're part of the country, that they're already a part of the country? And we all said, well, you know, the second generation, we came, but I'm American still. And yeah, the kids, you know,
Thanksgiving.
They said, no, the fourth generation.
Apparently.
He said, no, the fourth. He said, because the first, not the second, he said, because the second is still influenced with the parents. Rabbi Lau. The third.
Which Rabbi Lau?
Who's Lau?
Benny Lau.
Okay. It's very important to know which Lau we're talking about.
The third generation, they still have, you know, they usually have the Baba or the ground who speaks Yiddish or whatever. Yeah. The fourth generation, they already off from there.
I don't know. Personally, I think the third generation is already a part of Am Yisrael, of Eretz Yisrael. And you see it everywhere. You see it there. You see, the third generation, they are not only this, but the beauty of it is that you can see you have all those Yemenite and Moroccans and Ashkenazim. And the third generation, you already see the mingling.
Third generation is the grandchildren.
Yes, you already see the mingle. You already see the mingle.
Yeah, but they still have the connection to the.
Of course, there is nothing bad with it.
Fourth generation, they consider themselves really. That's why he was talking about.
I don't know. I don't like the idea because the fourth generation, you can say, is what he's saying is that he's disconnected from his root.
Basically,
which is wrong.
Basically,
that's not the Jewish way.
But But basically, that's what happened.
If you educate your kids,
that's what happened.
Depends how you
educate. Okay, we're not talking about that you're giving up Judaism. We're talking about that. For instance, they don't feel part of my.
They're part of Israel.
They won't feel part of America. They'll feel completely Israeli.
I think also the third generation already. I think the third generation already doesn't feel the connection. Third generation born here.
Third generation born here. I can see it with my grandchildren. They still have some kind of a connection to America because the parents have.
It's very good. That's what I'm saying. On the contrary, if you're not connected. That's, but the idea is that the third generation is really already here. But of course, all depends on the education. And that's our job. Again, that's our job to make sure that the tradition stays and the nice things.
But yet, their children still, they're Israeli, but they still have, they can even feel there's some feeling towards
Thanksgiving.
America.
If there are mishpuch,
you need to kill one or the other.
Read a little more about that one, and you understand.
Who proposed the deal is Lavan, opposite. It's not
why is he giving the deal? Because God revealed himself to him at night and told him he cannot touch him.
He's afraid that Yaakov can touch him too.
Yaakov, this is Otze, let's end the shiur with another rock. Another rock.
Okay.
There are a lot to talk about every issue, but I want to end this session with another rock. And this rock is the end. You were talking about doing this covenant with Lavan.
Yeah.
So at the end, in Perek. Perek, what perek is it? Perek. Lamed Aleph, I think. Lamed Aleph. If I see right, it's Lamed Aleph. And Lamed Aleph. Pasuk. Mem Dalet. Mem Dalet or Mem Hey? Got it? Vayikach Yaakov?
Mem lamet mem al.
Mem?
Vayikach Yaakov.
Yes. Vayikach Yaakov, what does it take? Vayikach Yaakov, even. Vayirimea matzeva. And Rashi said he took a stone, not a simple stone, a huge rock. Why is he taking a huge rock? He's showing Laban his force. I've got my strength. I can do a lot of things. I can break you in a minute. I can finish you off. In other words, he's telling Laban, if you think that I'm making now peace with you from a point of view that I'm weak, no. I make peace with you from a point of view of power. And this is a big lesson for us also. If we think that we can do peace with our enemies, talking nicely, blah, 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 and playing this game, it's not going to work. They understand power, strength. If you show them who you are, then you can make peace. And that's what Yaakov is doing. He's picking up this big rock that they said is like a huge rock that nobody can pick this up. But we already saw this power. And it's very interesting. And this way we talked about it, as it was in Tem Chelkeinu, is that one of the big questions is, the Torah is telling us about this big rock that he's picking up, and now another big rock. What is the Torah trying to tell us? That he's strong? Every Jewish mother prays on the candles for her children to be what?
Tired.
doctor.
Not anymore. Today, not anymore.
Okay, I go with doctor. But what we say in the prayer, special prayer, is banim ubnei banim uskim b'Torah u'mitzvot ma'asim tovim talmidei chachamim. You don't. There is nothing mentioned about being the champion of the Olympic for wrestling heavyweight championship and being the a champion of soccer or whatever you want. What a Jewish woman is asking for her children. Maybe a lawyer and accountant also, but definitely not that he's going to be strong and fight a wrestler and fight with everybody. So what is the Torah trying to tell us? Why do I need to know that Yaakov is strong? What the Torah is trying, okay, tomorrow everybody's going to go to the gym and start working on himself so he can pick up big rocks, big heavyweight. No?
I've got a purpose.
What is the Torah trying to tell us? I've
got a purpose.
You know, I never, till this year, when I saw, I didn't think about this question. Think about it.
He's saying, I've got a purpose, I'm going to be a leader.
No, but I'm asking, why is it the Torah trying to show us how strong he is, physically strong? This is what is important in life? Or spiritual strong.
No, but it's obviously off. They're putting the two together. They're connecting it somehow.
How?
But he did it before.
That's the question. Of course they're putting it together, but because it's mentioned.
But he did it before.
It's unbelievable.
When he saw his wife.
But that's what I'm still talking about. Exactly. Why is the Torah telling us that he has a lot of power, physical power? The Torah is telling us something unbelievable. Eizehu.
Ashir.
The Ezra Gibor. Who is the real hero? The one who's got the strength,
but
is controlling it. If this guy's got so much power, Esav is running and wants to kill him. Why didn't Yaakov kill him first? Then he sends his son, Eliphaz, to kill him. And why? Instead of fighting with Eliphaz, he gives him all the money and says, you know, go back to your father and tell I'm dead because ani chashuv kemet. Poor guy is like that. Then he's got all those years with Laban.
And he's doing nothing. And the wheels that he's, the Philistine are covering and he's...
That's up. Yitzchak.
But he's also...
Yaakov. No, this Yaakov is a different story. He's got enough, believe me. And now he's picking up this big stone, which is also showing us that he's got the physical power to fight Laban and to do whatever he wants to from the physical point of view. But he's not doing it.
Not conquerable.
He's not doing it. He kovashet itzmo. In other words, you have to see that the physical power, the power you've got to take it to the right place. As he told us, when you want to pick up this rock, you have to concentrate. But whatever you do, control your power and use them in a wise way. And this is what Yaakov is showing us. That though he's got this big power, he's not using it. He's controlling it.
He could just kill him.
Yeah. Sure. That's what I'm saying.